بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: ألا إن الدنيا ملعونة، ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما والاه وعالما ومتعلما. رواه الترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah, listen, pay attention. Yesterday we discussed the significance of beginning one's exhortation with the prefix Allah. This is to emphasize the importance of the message about to be delivered. Verily this world is accursed, in other words, disliked and despised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mal'oonun ma fiha, everything therein, in this world, in this dunya, is accursed and disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned yesterday, world as an entity itself is not accursed. Rather, whatever in this world leads one away from Allah and His obedience, that is what is accursed. This is why in this hadith we find the exception, illa dhikrallahi ta'ala, except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا وَأَلَاهُ, except those things which are beloved to Him. It is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Allah's ibadat, the Qur'an, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, etc., etc. وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا. وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا, this is also an exception that is mentioned in this hadith, that the one who acquires the knowledge of deen, and وَمُتَعَلِّمًا, the one who is acquiring the knowledge of deen. Knowledge that derives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and that is a source of benefit to oneself and benefit to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can see in this hadith, it clearly encouraged the importance of ulum-e deen, the importance of acquiring the knowledge of deen. In fact, how important the knowledge of deen is, we can gauge from the fact that the alim and muta'allim are already included in the exclusion that is mentioned in this hadith. For example, if the hadith stopped, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna dunya mal'una," the world is accursed, mal'unun ma fiha, everything therein is accursed, illa dhikrullah wa ma wa'alahu, except Allah's zikr and that which is beloved to Allah ta'ala, if the hadith stopped at that point, then the knowledge of deen, knowledge of Qur'an, knowledge of hadith, etc. is already included in dhikrullah wa ma wa'alahu. This is already a part of Allah's remembrance, already a part of that which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was the need to thereafter specifically mention that which was already included, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, wa'aliman wa muta'alliman, the one who has the knowledge of deen and the one who is acquiring the knowledge of deen. This is mentioned separately in order to emphasize its importance. As we mentioned yesterday, we find that there is another hadith mentioned by Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tasubbu dunya, do not curse this world, do not curse the dunya. Why? فَنِعْمَ مَطِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, because it is a beautiful conveyance for a mu'min. It is a beautiful conveyance for a mu'min. عَلَيْهَا يَبْلُغُ الْخَيْرِ وَبِهَا يَنْجُو مِنَ الشَّرِ, because through this dunya, a person is able to attain great khayr and great benefit. In other words, if he utilizes this world correctly, this existing in this world, this is a stepping stone to earn his akhirat, to earn his jannat. So, biha yablughul khayr, through this world, this is a conveyance, a means for one to earn or acquire great khayr, great benefit. Wa biha yanju min ash-shar, and through this world, through subsisting in this world correctly, a person is, his najat, his salvation from shar, from evil is acquired. In other words, he is safe from jahannam, and he earns his entry into Jannah through the dunya. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tasubbu dunya." Don't curse this world. Don't curse this world, because it is such a beautiful conveyance that it becomes the means to a person earning Jannah and being saved from Jahannam. So what is the correlation? On the one hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself curses the world. And on the other hand, we find this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not curse the world." So from this we see the same exception that is mentioned in the earlier hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, don't curse the dunya because it is a beautiful conveyance that will earn you your akhirat and save you from Jahannam. So anything in this dunya that is a source of khair and benefit, amal of deen, Allah's remembrance, that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the correlation is that that is excluded from these expressions where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the dunya is a curse. What is a curse? That aspect of the dunya which will take you away from Allah. That aspect of the dunya which will make you ghafil, negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what is accursed. And to curse that is permissible. Does not fall within the purview of this prohibition. لا تسبوا الدنيا. In other words, إباحة لعن الدنيا على ما يبعد منها من الله عز وجل ويشغل عنه. It is permissible to curse that aspect of the world which distances you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and occupies your mind and your heart away from the remembrance and the love and the devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tattakhidhu ad-day'ah fatarghabu fi ad-dunya. We find that many of these ahadith that we have discussed recently are very, very brief expressions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in these are important lessons of life. For example, we find that many of us in this world, we hanker after property. You'll find those that are already property barons, they own a lot of property, and we find that generally engagement in acquiring property or land is something we notice. It has a magnetic pull. You'll find very few people will buy one property and stop there. The person buys one property and then it becomes the means to buy another one and then another one and another one. You'll find very often the person is old. It's not even possible for him to utilize what he has, yet right till the last breath, the person is engaged in that. And then you'll find many people have lost their livelihoods by engaging in property or investing in property, one after the other. This is almost something that has a magnetic pull in it, draws one away and engages one, occupies one to such an extent that he loses sight of his objective in this world. On the other hand, like I said, there are always exceptions or exclusions. There are those that, mashallah, will engage in earning or selling or buying of property, etc., and will utilize their wealth correctly, utilize it for the service of humanity, utilize it for the service of deen, etc., are able to maintain a balance. But the sad reality is that there are very few that are found or included in this exclusion. So this is why, because of the detrimental effect, more often than not, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has singled out particularly this line of earning or this occupation in this hadith, which is narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, wherein he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La tattakhidhu ad-day'a fatarghabu fi ad-dunya." He said, "Do not hanker after property so much that you become engrossed in this world." So as we mentioned, property acquisition and development are such that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about this, when they become the focus and objective of life and lead one away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if a person engages in this business of property, buying and selling, etc., developing of property, and he remains within the parameters of the Sharia, and his overriding objective is for the benefit of humanity, then obviously such a person will be excluded from the warning that is found in this hadith. Another point we should bear in mind, that even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically mentioned property development, however, this warning or this caution, فَتَرْغَبُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا, do not engage in this type of business because it will cause you to become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engrossed in this world. Ulama ikram mentioned that even though specific mention of property development is found, however, it is extended to any occupation, any type of business that will primarily distract you from the command of Allah, distract you from Shariat, distract you from earning your akhirat, as is found in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says, Rijal لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. Allah Ta'ala says, these are men who engagement in trade and commerce does not make them ghafil, negligent of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specific mention is made of إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, that do not let our businesses or business engagement or involvement become a deterrent or an obstacle to our salah. Iqam is salah, wa ita is zakah, discharging zakat, fulfilling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Your dunya and your engagement in dunya is supposed to be something that makes it easy for you to obey Allah. And if you are regular when your salah, we find in hadith that engagement in your salah, being paban, coming early to the masjid, etc., not allowing your business to become an obstacle to that, will create barakat in your business, will create the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your business. So very, very important. As we mentioned, specific mention is made of property development in this hadith, but this extends to any occupation that distracts you from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one interesting point we can learn from this hadith is that, what is the wisdom of limiting one's involvement in the dunya? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, I'm stopping you from all this, discouraging you from this property development, etc., any type of trade or commerce. Why? فَتَرْغَبُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Because this is such that if it is given free rein, it will make your desire for the dunya increase more and more and more. Why is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopping us from this? Because we find that desire for dunya, hankering after the dunya, chasing after the dunya, this is one passion that is limitless. You will not find a man who loves dunya, who is chasing the dunya, will ever say that today I got enough. No. Look around us, the examples are there. Who says enough is enough? No one says enough is enough. The more we get, the more we want. So when this is such a desire, such a lalat, such a greed, that لَا يَمْلَا أَفَاهُ إِلَّا تُرَابُ, the only thing that will satisfy this is the sand of the grave. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mushfiq, kind master, mentor, teacher, is emphasizing this life lesson to us. Don't make this the goal, because this will never end. Don't make the love of dunya and gathering and gathering and gathering your objective. This will destroy your akhirat, and you will never be satisfied in this world also. There's no one that chases after dunya that is ever satisfied. Because that is the nature of this dunya. You will never be satisfied. This is why we are dissuaded from this. Allah give us tawfiq.